Good evening, everybody. We are back with our Q&A session 202. Sorry for the delay. There was some issue, which I don't understand. They said that there was a driver update. The only driver I update is when I book Uber. But these are all technical things which I don't understand. So the audio wasn't streaming. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We just thank you, we just thank you. We come at this time, Lord, again, so many questions, Lord, from around the world, Father. We just thank you, Father. Give us the wisdom, the discernment to answer these, O Lord. Because these questions matter to a lot of people as they go through tough times, O Lord. Jesus, Jesus, anoint us, anoint the hearers, Lord, all of us. Only the anointing can teach us, Lord, all things. Thank you, Father. Commit everyone into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. Good.
So we'll start with an overflow question from the last time.
Yes.
This is question number four. Question number four. It says, please help us explaining about moral and ethical sins provoking curses. That is the chapter from Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 15 to 26. Disrespect for parents, all form of oppression and injustice, especially when directed against the weak and helpless, all forms of illicit or unnatural sex, murder or abortion. How do these affect our coming out of curses?
And see, when we, like, you know, When we've been listening, especially now for the past 2.5 months, literally, because we are on March the 15th, exactly the middle of this month, we are understanding the kingdom of God. So even when we talk about blessing or curses, if you go to Deuteronomy 28 and read verse 1 and 2, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Now if you go to verse 9 and 10, if I'm right. Okay, let's go further down. Maybe 13. Yeah, 13. Go to 13. Go to 13. Yeah, now go further down. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Okay, 14. Now, if you do, it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, then all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Basically, we have to understand now, it's basically in terms of when we listen and we obey, we trigger certain laws. God is not detached from his creation, but he has established laws. Because you cannot have a kingdom without loss. You cannot have a kingdom without loss. You cannot have anything without loss. It's as simple as that. You cannot. Even the tiniest little atom is held together by loss. Everything has its own loss. Because that's fundamental. We care about loss. And everything that everybody is doing in the world is based on loss. Okay, look this. There's a lizard passing by. First, we just carefully avoiding it. It's going that side. Don't worry. Okay, even that has to obey certain laws. Okay, everything, if you notice, everything has its own laws by which it works. So God, when he created everything, he set laws, and then for man, he says, you want blessings. You want things to go well for you. This is what you need to do. I'm going to give you the laws. I'm going to give you the laws. You listen to my voice. Two things he has said over there. If you listen to verse 1 of Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, two things are mentioned. It shall come to as if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord and observe carefully. We need both. We need both. The law is given. Okay, that's what happened to Israel by the time Jesus came. They were all keeping the laws, but nothing seems to be happening because the interpretation of the law is left to the voice. Okay, the voice. The voice is the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who interprets the law for us. This is what it means. This is the truth. That's what Jesus says. The truth shall set you free. The truth is how the voice interprets the law. Like so many things which I learned in school, I got to understand only much later. Yeah. Because I learned it, signed specially, mugged it, wrote, passed. And passed well. But later in life, you started understanding, this is what it meant, this is what it meant, this is what it meant. Okay, like children, we were told many things when we were small. We just told them, obey, or we were told, obey. We didn't understand it, we obeyed. It worked well for us. We didn't obey, it didn't work well for us. But later we understood what these things mean. Okay. Everything that we are doing in the world is basically studying to understand the laws. So when God set these things into motion, okay, there were laws set. He said, if you keep the laws, this is how it will work for you. The blessings will be automatically triggered. You don't have to worry about it. It will automatically, that's how the kingdom functions. The kingdom functions, okay. But he said, if you do not, automatically, it will start working against. It will start working against. Okay, so this is where we need to understand what God is talking about. Okay, ultimately, like I keep asking this question, you are sentenced for a crime in the court, and if you ask who sentenced you, everybody says the judge. Mm. But actually not the judge, the law sentenced you. The judge on his own, he's just pronouncing the verdict. Pronouncing the verdict. But when he makes his pronouncement, he has to go back to law. So ultimately, it is the law that is judging. That's what Jesus said. The Father has committed all judgment to the Son. Then he says, I myself will not judge you. On that day, the word you heard will judge you. The word will judge you. The word will judge you. Okay. Ultimately, the judge is the word. So it's, you can look at it negatively, or you can look at it very positively by saying, oh wow, I got the word with me. This is what is going to judge me. So if this is going to judge me, if I stick to this, I don't have to worry about judgment. I don't have to worry about judgment because it's here. It is more like when you go to higher classes, like post-PG, what you have is open book exam. Okay, it's almost like God says, I give you the book, obey it. You don't have to worry about judgment. And things will automatically follow. But if you break it, other things will follow. Other things will follow. Okay, so when we break a law, something else is like, you know, like with a simple example for everybody to understand, even kids understand, is that if you jump from the terrace, or you slip, jump, or thrown, it doesn't matter. You slipped, you jumped, or somebody threw you. The law automatically works the same for every case. Gravity, immediately that law starts working. Starts working. So it doesn't matter in which way the law was broken. Oh, somebody threw me. The law is, that's why we have this law with the eyes covered. The Lady Justice, okay, basically. I mean, we're talking about technicalities of laws here. These laws will show no mercy. See, the law cannot show mercy. The only one who can show mercy is the judge. Okay? Only the judge can show mercy. The law cannot show mercy. So this is where we need to understand what God is talking about over here. So these curses are there. But, yeah, let's go back to the question. But, okay, all these things, all form oppression, injustice, everything, all these things are there. Moral sins, ethical sins, provoking the consequence. Another word we use is talking about consequences. But then the question is, what do you do? What do you do? And that is where Christ comes in. If you go to the book of Galatians, Galatians first, we need to understand. Galatians chapter 3, right? Come to verse 13. Okay. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Okay, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Okay, that is what Christ did. This is the biggest thing. The curse of the law, he has redeemed us from it. But for redemption to work, we have to go to Christ. We have to go to Christ and bring those things that are things which are broken, which is usually in darkness, meaning in the realm of the darkness under their control, bring it to the light. Once it is brought to the light, confessed and forsaken, the Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. So this is the huge thing. This is a huge thing. Okay, the curse is broken, the power of the curse, and then and what we get is the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ. But this is now talking about the starting point. Okay, we were all cursed under the law, and when we turned to Christ and looked at the cross and believed in his atoning death for our sake, we are set free from the curse, and what God gave us is the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is that now he will teach us how to live by faith. To hear his voice and keep his commandments. Hear his voice and keep his commandments. Okay? That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person now who has come into us. We are born again by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is over there. And that's what the law was outside, the law has gone in. Now it is written in the tablets of our heart and our mind. And though the law is exactly the same for everybody, it's not applicable the same way, in the sense like our lives are different, our struggles are different, our testings are different, but the guide is the same and the book is the same. So he will personally lead us. It's a one-on-one walk with God. But in that process, God says, one law is overruled. If we now go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2. You cannot cancel one law unless you have another law. Okay, you have another law. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Learn to walk. Don't walk the old way. Learn to walk the new way. But please understand, it's a journey. It's a journey where John again will write, little children, I write to you that you do not sin. But if you sin, please remember, meaning the day you get saved till the day you die, your battle with sin will continue. The only time we'll be freed from that battle is when we escape this body. Because in this body is the flesh, that is the old nature. And every morning when you wake up from onwards, the battle begins with the flesh. You have to every day put to death the works of the flesh. So now here. Now there are two laws here, okay. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me from the law of sin and death. There are two laws. So it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes me free from the law of sin and death. Okay. Now we need to understand this. When we are talking about the curses, all these things that are come, this were triggered. What God does is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is what God does. Okay. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are actually getting an absolutely fresh start. The old is completely gone. There's no record of it. God doesn't keep a record of it. The enemy cannot bring it back. Okay, it's cleaned. Because when you came, everything is wiped out. Wiped out. handwriting, it says it's wiped out. Everything has become new. So you are getting a fresh start. Okay. So let us say somebody in their 50 comes to the Lord, and he or whoever it is lived a terrible, terrible life. But when they come to Christ, the whole thing is wiped out. It is wiped out. Okay. Now, it doesn't naturally, automatically mean it is wiped out according to the law of the land. Okay, like you committed murder. Let us say you committed murder. With God, you go repent and you receive forgiveness. So eternal consequences of it is wiped out. But the temporal consequences can come. The law of the state is not going to wink its eye. You may go in for life. You may go in for life. But you can go in for life in peace. In peace. And honestly, if you turn around and trust the Holy Spirit, He will give you a ministry there. And it's happened to so many people. And incredible ministries He has given them, how He turns life around. Okay, so He turned literally the curse into a blessing. Into a blessing. The issue is this. Because of your actions, where you repented, you turned full 180 degrees, and God has forgiven you, but your actions passed on to others. Okay, others. Over that, you have no control. You have no control. Because every person, let us say, your this thing affected three people. Three people, because no man is an island, affected three people. These three people also need to come to your own kind of conviction and repent and turn for it not to have any effect. Which?
Free will
is like the sword will not depart your house. You are forgiven. The sin has been taken out. That is David. Now for the sword to depart his house, every one of his children need to come to his kind of conclusion. Wow. I will turn to God. I will not rebel against my father. I will not do these things. And if they do, the sword will hang on one generation and look for the next generation. So every generation, if they choose in their will to turn towards God, the sword will keep on passing. Mm-hmm. Keep on passing. Yes, because God is just. But the problem is, you have no control over it. You have no control over it. So David will stand there and see crazy things happening. He will see murder and rape and all things happening in his families. And he knows he's got peace about it. He knows he's forgiven. But the fact is, the grief, the sorrow does not go. It does not go. Okay. That's why when the first child dies, he's able to go and worship. And he sees still Absalom die. Then he cries. No, he weeps. In the height of victory, he weeps and he comes back and he says, Absalom, Absalom. At no point he is under condemnation. Because he is repented and forsaken, he is free. But sorrow and condemnation are not the same thing. Okay, the sorrow is, the grief is there because you know what? Because you are totally helpless. This is what the free will does. Free will does. That is where God is talking about. No. So in the new covenant, we need to understand the awesome thing is that Christ has become the curse for us. Has become the curse for us. And therefore, He's taken it all and you are free. Mm-hmm. You are free. And you also, unlike the old covenant, what the new covenant does is that, see the, if you look at the old covenant, in the old covenant, because atonement hadn't taken place, Jesus hadn't come and died and taken place, and He hadn't won over the powers of darkness. So even the power of prayer in the old covenant was limited. In the new covenant, the power of prayer is like enormous. So what happens is, you have more power and authority to exercise dominion over the powers of darkness that influence your generations.
Wow.
Are you getting it?
Yes.
If David had been a new covenant man, he could have probably turned his children's lives around by exercising the authority over the demonic realm. Knowing his knowledge of God and the Word and his closeness with God, he could have really given them a run for their money. Okay. But in the old covenant, that was not given. Nobody had power over the powers of darkness, because you need to realize they are the ones. They are the ones. Because you know, like I said, one thing God says is that we do not perish because of sickness. We do not perish because of lack. We do not perish because of any of these things. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay, so ignorance. Ignorance is not a demon. You cannot cast it out.
It's a sin.
Okay? Ignorance is not a demon. But what thing is that, what you can do once you have knowledge. Okay, that's why we say in English, knowledge is power. Okay, once you have knowledge, you have power. Power in your hands. You have power in your hands. So the knowledge of how the kingdom of God functions is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Okay, that's why Jesus said, hey, hang on. Okay, you'll hear, because every week you will hear more and more about it. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God rules over all the things. You understand how the kingdom. Otherwise, he said, you will either waste your time running after things which the kingdom will add. Okay. Like I heard a statement a businessman make say, You take care of the business, the business will take care of you. Okay, you take care of the business will take care of you. What God is saying, you seek the kingdom and my righteousness, have a very right relationship with me on a constant basis. Don't worry about provision. Whatever you need for what I have called you, I will keep adding. But when you are seeking the kingdom, is first understanding the character of the king. And second, the character of this kingdom. How does this kingdom work? How does this kingdom work? And once we understand these two, it's so simple. That's why the gospel is very simple. I mean, success can be predicted.
Yep.
It's not unpredictable. Okay. Can we? It's like maths. Okay. Like if Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, God will say that if you do these three things, then success is
guaranteed.
It's predictable. Okay. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. We shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do. So where they went wrong is basically the thing is that they meditate upon it, but they never understood the principles. See, the problem is people are just memorizing scriptures. That's not what scripture is meant for. Then we are just like the pagans. They also memorize the scripture. Muslims memorize, Hindus memorize, Christians memorize, Jews memorize. Nobody is changing. They're not changing. It's because in that scripture are the precepts and the principles of how the kingdom works. He says, don't speak or work contrary to that principle. Contrary to the principle. Please understand, he says, all the things that are visible are created by and through the invisible. So the invisible controls the visible. Okay, which is very true. Like all of us sitting over here, you're looking at me. But it's not your body that matters. It's the invisible part of you, the soul that matters. The soul. And what is being saved is your soul. This knowledge or ignorance is not with the body, it's with the soul, with the mind. Okay, so that's what God is talking about. So if you go back to Joshua 1:8, you will see that meditate upon it, understand it, because, and when you speak or do, stick to it. Then what will happen? You will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. So you will be successful. Okay, and this is which is very true. If you want 100% in math, you can get 100% in math. You can get 100% in physics. You can get 100% in chemistry. You can be successful in any career you choose. If you understand the laws by which it works and you work on it and you successfully implement it, you can win. You can be successful. Okay, so success can be predicted. How do people succeed in the world? I'm not talking about the corruption. I'm talking about actually people who succeed. A successful cricketer, successful bowler, tennis player. How do they be successful? They have understood the laws of the game. And they practice and practice and practice and practice and practice and practice. And they're successful. They're successful. Okay. It's as simple as that. Okay. They are just successful because they have understood how these laws of this game work and they have practiced and have mastered the laws. Okay. Mastered the laws. And they are successful. Any area. Because you cannot have anything work without laws. So if you are smart, you will try to understand how the laws work. You know, there is a guy, I read it long ago, there was this guy, two or three guys, who was banned from every country where gambling is legal. Because he watched and worked and found the key to crack any casino. Because he knows even casinos work under laws. And if you understand the laws, you can crack it. So ultimately they were on a lookout for him everywhere because he goes into this casino, he will study for a long time and then crack the code and he will make at least 2 or 3 million out of it. So he was banned from all these places because he understood how it cracks. Okay, so you need to understand that is what the people in the world do. So, see, what is happening is, this is the issue with the kingdom theology. The kingdom theology is that you truly can be successful. Okay, anybody in the world, even if he's a pagan, if he's successful in any area, it's because he understands the law, how it works, which is instituted by God. But the issue here is you're forgetting his righteousness. So Jesus did not say, seek first the kingdom of God alone. He says, and his righteousness. That is where everybody fails. So there are people who seek his righteousness, but they are very unsuccessful because they don't seek the kingdom. They don't seek the kingdom. Seeking the kingdom takes time. It's like trying to crack a puzzle. It takes time. So there are people who seek the kingdom are very successful. There are people who seek his righteousness who are very holy but unsuccessful. Mm. And this other first group is very successful and very unholy. Okay. God says that's not how the kingdom works. The kingdom works, he says, you need to first and foremost, you'll hear again tomorrow this, first and foremost you need to find out, like I said, you know, one of the most important questions in life is, what am I here for? If you go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, definite you this thing for believers. Okay. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, sanctified, and I ordained you a prophet to the nation. So three things are there. Before I was born, I came from somebody's mind, somebody's heart. That's where I am from. And I was set apart. Third thing. This was my purpose. So the most important thing for a person is to discover purpose. Most important thing is to discover purpose. God has a purpose because you look around. You look around in this room. Tell me one thing in this room which is not manufactured without a purpose. There's nothing in this room. In this small little room. Okay? Everything is there. Take a look at yourself in the mirror and tell me one thing in your body which doesn't have purpose. So purpose is the biggest thing. God is a God of purpose. There's no random things over there. Everything has purpose. Everything has purpose. So this is where people have to come back and say, you know what? I need to know, Lord, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? And he won't reveal it to you one day. For 1 year, he can, he may not. But that should be the pursuit. And once you have discovered it, the next thing to do is to try to be the best you can be to accomplish that purpose. And on that day, God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy and take charge. Take charge. This is how it works. This is how the kingdom works. So how do we escape these things? Is Jesus is telling us very simple thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, because you cannot be idle. Everybody is pursuing something. Everybody is in the pursuit of something. Even the lazy fellow is in pursuit of sleep. Okay. You're pursuing, you cannot, you, because we were created in the image of God. We cannot escape that. So we are not like an animal. Animals work only under instincts. They don't have purpose. A lion, when he is hungry, he hunts. When he is full, he stops hunting. He won't hunt. He will do days and days, he will go without food because he is full. Okay? A polar bear will eat through its season and then go sleep for 6 months. He will hide. Okay? They don't sit and together and discuss and plan things and all because they don't. They cannot. They don't. Okay? But they live on instincts. But man is different. Man is different. He cannot live like that. Cannot live like that. Cannot live like that. That's why you don't see a depressed cat. Okay? A repentant dog. You don't see these things in them. Though the cat steals. The cat steals. You leave your window open. It will come and steal and go. But you don't see any repentance or any of these things with these things. Okay? Yeah, which is true. Okay? You don't see. So that is where we need to understand. We've been created in the image of God. Though the fallen man fallen, yet the image is still there. Therefore he will seek. And to that man, God has said, this is how it works. You listen to my voice, keep my commandments, this is what will happen. On the other hand, you don't listen to my voice and break the laws in which I have set it, this is what will happen. Okay? So if you look at, if you go back to the question over there, all disrespectful parents. Okay? Now if you look at, this is not told to the animals. The dog doesn't show any respect to the parents. These laws don't apply to them. Have you noticed it?
Yeah.
This does not apply to them. Injustice directed against the weak and the helpless. No, the lion can kill its own cub. And there are no laws triggered by it. All forms of illicit, unnatural sex. Animal kingdom, it doesn't trigger anything. Murder or killing is sanctioned in that kingdom. So this is only talking to us. It's only talking to man. Okay, it's only talking to man. Okay, that's where we need to understand. See, all these laws are only for man. And the reason it is only for man is because we are created in God's image. God's image. So he says, you are created in my image. That is why we are told to seek two things primarily. Seek the kingdom and seek his righteousness. And the only way you can actually do it is by faith. That is why people don't, see, they have messed up the faith message. They made faith message into getting things. Well, Jesus said, things will be added to you. You don't need all the things. You don't need things. You need things only what is required for your purpose. What other things do you need? The only thing, and people accumulate things because they do not know purpose. So accumulating things itself becomes life's purpose. Once you know, like if you go to the forward units anywhere into the army units over there, if you were to go to where they stay, you will see how little things they have. Because they don't need all those things. And all the things they need except their own personal things are provided by the system. They are only told to do couple of things. Love your country, protect your country, obey orders. And even if you don't love your country, obey orders. Okay, obey orders. This is your duty. You do this, everything that you want the system will, the government will provide. Your uniform will come. Your food will come. You drink, your liquor will come. Your vehicle, transportation, everything is taken. Everything is taken care of. You don't have to go outside to have a haircut. The army barber is there. He will cut your hair. Everything is taken care of. All you do is do what we tell you to do. Okay, so these are principles people applied. Because a soldier is somebody like somebody in the kingdom who signed his life over. So God says you should be a disciple.
Hmm.
You should be a disciple. Okay, you should be a disciple. Sign your life over to me. And then do these things which I tell you. Seek my kingdom, seek my righteousness, and I will add everything to you. That is how you escape these things. Because Christ has. So you cannot change your past. But you can definitely change your future. Definitely change your future by taking these decisions. The devil knows this. So what will he do? He will always try to keep you in the past. Keep you in the past. And that's where God says, I give you a new beginning. Every day is a new beginning. Because when you come to Christ, because he came, became cursed for us, there is mercy always. Why is there always mercy? Mercy is always available because he took the punishment. That is why God is able to show mercy. And Christ took the punishment even before the foundation of the world was laid. So for God, see, there is eternity, and there is a small slice of time. When we have come from eternity into time, and then getting out of time into eternity, only question is, everybody came from God, but everybody will not go to God. Everybody. Because God is the creator. So everybody has to come from God. The Hindu, the Muslim, the Buddhist, because there is no other creator there. There's only one creator. So everybody came from God into time. We are going to exit time one day. When you exit, the only question is, where will you go? Will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? That's the question. With God or without God? Second question is, if you go to God, how will you go to God? How you go to God will determine your eternity. Eternity is forever. Okay, eternity is forever. Like we'll always say, be careful how you do your class 10, your first board exam. Because how you do your first board exam will determine in so many ways which way you will go. Because if you just pass in class 10, you passed. But your options are very few. Very few. Okay, you will be going around trying to find admission. On the other hand, you passed with first rank. Now they are after you. They are after you. You are not after them. They are after you. Okay. Like you see one of my nephews, a tall fellow. No? I like that kid. Okay. What happened was that Rajiv, he studied in a small little town. He couldn't speak English properly, but he was good in his studies. So he did his plus two CBSE. Okay. BSE. In that small little town in Kerala. But what happened was CBSE was second ranker. Second ranker. And he had taken economics or commerce or whatever. He was second ranker. All India. So he shot to the best college in Delhi. Okay. What gave him that option?
Right.
From there he never looked back. He never looked back. Okay. And even today, that's all he has. All he has. But that defining these things are there. So God says, you got in free. But you will not go there and get everything free. There, you need to run your race here well. Okay? So don't get fooled by the enemy. Because he will keep talking about your past. Come to me and settle your past and have peace about your past. Okay? And live your day one day at a time. For that, I give you grace. That is the unparalleled power of God. Live life one day at a time. Use grace and be successful. And he says, then when you look, what you have is the hope of glory.
Amen.
Hope is always connected with the future. Okay. So all these things are there. So thing is that, You can't do anything about your past. What you can do is about your present. Because see, you go to James chapter 5. Okay, James chapter 5. James chapter... No, 4. Yeah, James chapter 4, verse 13. Okay. To 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So what he is saying is that the only day that is given to you is today. Even when the day begins, you do not have a guarantee you will finish that day. Okay. If you need a guarantee you will finish a day, then you must have known God's purpose and is pursuing it. Pursuing it. Okay. Then you have a guarantee, have been finished. When you finish, you're ready to accept. Okay. So the only day we have in God's, when eternity touches us, only today. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow is beyond us. We have no power. We can say at the end, I will say tomorrow is Sunday, everybody come and all, but I myself is not sure about tomorrow. No, I may be sure I will be alive tomorrow, but I'm not sure Jesus won't come tonight. So there are two eventualities always facing us. Either it is death or Him coming. Okay? Him coming. These two eventualities, you are living in the light of these two things always. That's why God, Jesus says, no man knows the day or the hour, so be watchful and pray. What I tell you, I tell everyone. So we have only today. You don't have yesterday. The devil will try to keep you miserable, depressed, discouraged about something that happened in the past, or keep you in fear and worry and anxiety that might happen tomorrow. This is how he traps people. And Jesus says, no, don't live like that. Don't live like that. If you go to Matthew 6:33, okay, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Now look at 34. Then you will understand what he is saying. Okay, because previous verses he was all talking about what? Worry, anxiety, fear. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He says, either you live in the past, and you live in the future, worry, anxiety, fear, and the process is that you miss the only thing that is given to you, which is today. The only thing that is given to you. That's how people waste time. Because what is given to us is today. But the question is, what did I do today? If you were all depressed about your past, or worried about tomorrow, you just wasted your time. The time just went away. The problem is, this is the trap into which people, Christ, the devil puts people into. Okay. And God says, don't. Okay. That is why this man called David is so special, that we learn from David more than anybody else. Because, you know, it's good to learn from Joseph and Daniel and all if you're very young. Start well, finish well, and well, finish well. And most people get to hear these things much later in life. So many are like Jacob or like David, of which David is a much better specimen than Jacob. Okay, because David will learn to handle misfortunes like no man because of his faith in God. But he is one man who knows his God. And most people fail in life because they don't know their God. How merciful, how gracious he is, that he wants you to succeed. He's more interested in our success than we actually are. Because Pastor Vijay is here. He's got three young daughters. The mine are all grown up. The three young daughters. So if you look at them and look at him, he's more interested that they study well and succeed than they are. If you leave without supervision, immediately they'll take storybooks. Because they are not so gung-ho about success, because it hasn't factored into them, because they do not know life. They don't know the end, they don't have that experience,
the troubles, the trials, the testings and everything. So to have a good education is good because it equips you to face the world better. All that the father knows, the children don't know. So God knows eternity. God knows the standards of his righteousness. God knows how he is going to judge. So he is more interested in our success than we are.
Hmm.
More. He's more interested. Okay, so that is what it is talking about. So all these things may have happened, but my concern to people or my counsel to people is that we are not living in the old covenant. Covenant where certain things were set into motion and there's nothing you could do about it. In the new covenant, what has happened is that the verses in Galatians 3, 13 and 14. He became cursed for us. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. That should change your life, he says. You know, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Because where did these curses come from? It's coming from the law. Okay? So he has redeemed us. Not only has he redeemed us, first part, he redeemed us from the curse. Second, the blessing that was pronounced over Abraham has come upon us in Christ Jesus. What is that? That we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How does the blessing come? The blessing is in a person. It's in a person. The person is a steward of God's household. He's the one in charge. The Holy Spirit is in the charge. Okay, that's why even in the activity of prayer, the Bible says sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. But he knows what to pray for. Because he will pray for the saints according to the will of God. The most powerful prayer is to pray according to the will of God, because guaranteed answer will come. Answer will come. Okay, if you read 1 John chapter 5, now this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask according to the will of God, anything. So who knows the will of God? I don't know. The Holy Spirit is the only one who knows the will of God for each individual, because he searches the heart of the Father. He knows God's will for everyone sitting here. Okay? And what is the will of God? It is never bad. It is always good for his children. So forget that curses part, because Christ. And turn around to the blessing part. What is that? The Holy Spirit. And learn of him. Seek him
and learn.
And don't walk under condemnation, because that's one of the tactics of the enemy. There. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if he asks anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know what he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So the curse has been taken away. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. This book comes alive, because this is about the kingdom. This is entirely about the kingdom, as far, as much as we need in this life. Everything I need for this life is in this. This is the whole counsel of God. This does not contain everything God has spoken, but this contains everything that God has spoken for man in this dispensation. Many things are there. We do not know. Secret things are there. We do not know. So much is there. You cannot take God and his creation and look at it and say, everything God has spoken is only this. No. He has spoken many things, but we will not know. And we will not know. Paul heard stuff. He was told not to write it. John the Apostle heard in Revelation 10. He was asked not to write it. So there are so many things. And we don't need to know all of that. But what he has revealed is in our hands. And God says, understand how it works. So you take anything. Now you went to that question about there. Now you look about there. No? If you look into the Word, no? What you will see? What you see is how to deal with the weak. How to deal with it. There are three things mentioned there. Okay. Well, let's go with the first. Parents. How to deal with parents. Okay, how to deal with parents. It is there in the Word of God. These are laws God has instituted. God says, keep it. How to deal with oppression, injustice, especially against the weak and the helpless. Okay, you need to understand, okay, a Moabite girl comes into Israel. Okay, she's a widow. She comes with a mother-in-law who's a widow. except from their widows. And Naomi is too proud to go out and beg. And she's found. Maybe her ancestral, her home is still there. She's living over there. And she tells, okay, this is what you need to know. You are a Gentile. You don't know our nation. You don't know our God. You don't know his laws. In his laws, he has put provision for the weak and the helpless. Harvest time, they are harvesting. The law says the edges should be left for the helpless and the weak. You just go glean from them. Nobody will say anything to you. So, the law will always tell you how to be the help. So, you look into this, okay, or the weak, all forms of illicit or unnatural sex. So, there are laws about sex. Laws about sex. Okay. Then there is talking about murder. Okay. Murder. It's a huge thing. There are laws about what is first degree murder, what is second degree murder, what is third degree murder. First degree murder is the worst. It is premeditated with the intent to kill. Okay. So, you get life or death. Second degree murder is intent was there to kill, but it was not premeditated. So, punishment is less. Third degree murder is, it was not premeditated, it was not intent, it was accidental. So, where did all these things come from? It comes from the law which God gave. That is why sanctuary cities are there. Okay. So, abortion. Then the question of abortion comes. And there is this whole conflict in the US election. The Democrats have only one thing.
Agenda.
Nothing else. Not agenda. They have nothing else to hold on. Because Joe Biden's 4 years was a disaster for the country. So the only thing they have is about abortion. And for the first time in US history, you had a vice president visiting the abortion clinics. Okay, you need to understand how these things matter. The simple thing is that the question is, what do you think about this unborn baby? They won't say baby because baby creates sentiment. So they'll use the word fetus. Okay, fetus also means baby in Latin. Okay, but nobody understands Latin. So it's easier to use Latin.
Technical words.
Now the thing is that if you read what God told Jeremiah or what David says in Psalm 139, when you look at all these verses, so the Christians take a stand. They will say, no, abortion is morally, ethically wrong. Because that baby is from God. And killing that baby is equivalent to murder. Equivalent to murder. Okay. But this is the issue. Now, these are all ethical questions. The question is, what we are doing now, what we are living in is a democracy. In a democracy, it is the will of the people that matter. The democracy. So what do you do in a democracy when the majority of the people overturn a law? What do you do? Answer, can't do anything. Can't do anything. So God says, you don't seek the will of the people. You seek my kingdom. My kingdom is my will. You don't seek. So the issue is, I've been thinking these things. What happens? What happens when you are a leader of a nation? Of a nation, like in America, let us say US, or even in India. Like so many laws have been changed because with a brute majority, they pass the laws. Once the law is passed, it goes to the president. The president has to sign. He or she can reject it twice, but it comes back, has to sign by law. So, if you are a president, what do you do? It's a question. Honestly, you don't have much choices. One choice is that I refuse to sanction this, so I resign. I won't be part of this. I resign. You make a statement. Or, you influence the whole thing by the power of your character and your convictions. The power, the character, of your convictions. And there was one president like that. His name was Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. So you need to realize when he abolished slavery, he was not in the majority.
Exactly.
He's not in the majority. Even the Supreme Court was against him. So the Supreme Court has to go by the law. Was against him. And if my history is right, he ordered the entire justices to be under house arrest. Because he said, this is morally and ethically wrong. So I have to take that decision. Okay, so you need, but those, like I said last time, those kind of leaders are few and far between. Like you had a Abraham Lincoln, political leader in US. You had a Nelson Mandela who was in 27 in a small little room, prisoner. Many times he was given the choice, you just come out and speak for apartheid. We'll set you free. He said no. 27 years. Yeah, 27 years for Mahatma Gandhi. These are leaders because of the power of their conviction and their character. They have enormous effect on their followers. Followers. Today's leaders, you look at the today's prominent leader in our country and what came out this week over the electoral bonds. You look at the picture they put in public and the corruption that was behind, how they use state mechanisms, especially the ED and CBI, to go after companies, and as soon as the companies are threatened, they immediately buy the electoral board, which is given to the ruling party.
Sorry.
Now, what is the character of these leaders? Nothing. Like we say in English, that's Jaise Raja, Vaise Praja. So we will think, oh, is this election going to change anything? No. The people are corrupt. People are corrupt. And they like corruption. It's very difficult to change this country. Very difficult to change this country. Okay. And the same thing is true about the church. The prosperity gospel turned the eyes and the heart of people into things and getting things from God. And therefore, it is very difficult to change the people because they are not interested in the character of God. They are not interested in the character of God. The same time, the first generation came out of Egypt. Thank God they died in the wilderness. If they hadn't died in the wilderness, they would have made the promised land into Egypt. Because all they could think was about Egypt. What we ate there, how was life there, what the minute the lawgiver wasn't there, they went kaput. So God knew it all. So he said, you know what, another generation will rise. They will love me. They will hear my voice. They will keep my command. Let them go in. Why do you want to go there and mess up? Mess up. So you see this playing out everywhere. Whether it is in Israel, whether it is in the church, whether it is in the world. God has told us how we need to live. This is how you need to live. And in the process, in this wicked fallen world, or which the ruler of the world is devil, because he's controlling it through fallen humanity, he says, when you stand for righteousness, you will be persecuted. You will be persecuted. You will suffer for my name's sake. If you go to Matthew chapter 5 and go, come down to verse 8 onwards, if I'm right. 8, 9. Yeah, come further down, 9, 10. Yeah, further down. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteous and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. What is that? The food you want to eat, the water you want to drink, and the prison uniform you need. Will be given there free.
Absolutely.
Take care of it. You may go to prison, he says. Okay. Okay, that is something which we need to understand. You may go to prison, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So he brings another tangent over here, which you need to understand. That is why people don't seek his righteousness. They only seek the kingdom. Because the kingdom is a set of laws. The laws work. If you know economics and you understand how you can be economically successful, If you study the stock market for a long time, you study the stock market and make proper investments, everything operates on loss. There's nothing that doesn't operate on loss. If you know the law, you can be successful. You want to be a good driver, understand how the driving works. Understand how it works. And you can be really good. Any area, any sport, anything, you want to be successful, all you need to understand the law. So what do? The prosperity gospel preaches prosperity without the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Basically, they are telling this is how it works. That's what I said. You cannot deny everything they say because there is truth in it. Truth in it. Okay. Even a good and successful thief, is he successful because he understands the laws in which how it works? Okay. He knows. I have to sleep during day. I sleep. Because my job is at night. I cannot be sleepy at night. I need to be wide awake. Second, night is dark, so I need to paint myself dark. I have to be fit. I need to practice. I need to run fast. Second, that's the day I oil my body. So anybody catches me, they won't get a grip. Okay. So, and not only that, before that he's different. He scopes the whole area. He's got an entire system of how this household works. He knows when people come in, when people go, what time they eat, what time they sleep. He knows it everything. He studies very good. Physics is a good, successful thing.
Mm-hmm.
He studies. He studies it all. He studies it. And then he gets ready for that day. He picks that day because he realizes this is the best day. Because this is the day when they are all out or they are all knocked out. He successfully makes it. Okay. And if there are CCTV cameras, he knows every CCTV cameras and he knows which angle to take where avoid the CCTV camera. He knows it all. He studies. So, because why? All these things work under laws. So he looks into this house and he sees this husband and wife. They go to sleep by 10 o'clock. So that is a law. He looks at it. Are they working according to that law? And they say, every day they go to sleep at 10 o'clock. So that law has been set in their life. Everything is a law. They go to sleep and they're knocked out. And they wake up only this. So I have this period of time. So anywhere you want to be successful, what are hackers? How do they hack? Because there's a law.
Mm.
There's a law. Okay. All cyber threat. How is cyber threat? Taking place. They study it. They're not dumbos. They're very good at their work. Very intelligent. Like how much time they spent on studying how these things work. So God says, this is how curses come. You break the law, the curses will follow. You keep the law, blessings will follow. We all broke the law. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We were lawbreakers. We were headed towards destruction and Christ came and became cursed for us. But look to him. Believe in him. He has given your spirit. You are born again by his spirit. Listen to him. Listen to him. And when you listen to him, what the blessing he's promising is not just temporal. May or may not temporal, depending upon your call, your purpose, location, all these things. But everyone, eternal blessings guaranteed. Temporal, not for everybody. Not for everybody. Depends upon which country you are born. If you are born in a righteous country where they have righteous laws, then you have very good chances of blessing, prospering in this life. Because the laws will help you. But if you are born again and become a Christian in an Islamic country, or where nowhere your faith is not allowed, you are not going to prosper there. And we're going to prosper. Okay, so this prosperity in this life is not a guarantee. Eternity, yes, guarantee. Yeah. He says. That is why he says, if you look how careful God is in those two wordings, you look at verse 11 and 10. No, yeah, he says, no. Rejoice and exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in
heaven.
Heaven. Okay. Rejoice and for great is your reward in heaven. He's not saying on earth. We will say, what about Peter? He told Peter, no, we left everything to follow you. He will say, you will receive 100 times more in this life, we're talking about. What is he actually talking about there? But isn't that Jesus? But that is a kingdom concept. Mm. It's a kingdom concept. Okay, like it's in Luke. No. We left everything to follow you. Because we have to go with it, because this is all connected with blessings. So, okay. 18, Luke 18, and verse 28 and 29 and 30. See, we have left all and followed. He said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time, in the age to come, eternal life. Now go to verse 29, what he's talking about it here. Okay. What is that? Who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present age? What is he talking about? This is, okay, let me tell you, okay? Because I can use my own example, okay? Like, almost any country I go to where they have heard my message, I can walk into those houses, and those houses become my home. Can become my home, okay? I have received spiritual parents and brothers. The only issue is with the word wife. The problem is when you think about wife, we think about sex. That's not what it's talking about. That is not what a wife actually does. A wife takes care of you. Takes care of you. I will tell you, I've been in countries and in homes where the lady of the house actually takes care of you those 3 or 4 days you are there, in ways in which even your wife doesn't take care of you. The way she cooks, the way all your clothes are washed, ironed and kept. The slipper which you leave outside your bedroom is washed and kept outside by the time you come out in the morning. That's how they take care of you. That's what he's talking about. That's what the apostles experienced when they went. You look at Apostle Paul and all. No? How they were taken care of when they went to different places. This is what he's talking about. This happens in the kingdom. He says, if you have left all this for my sake, for the kingdom's sake, he says, you don't have to worry. Wherever you go, where there are kingdom people, they will take care of you. That's how they take care of you. This is for people who left everything for the sake of the kingdom. They had to leave. Because the call was like that. Left their home, left their parents, left their brothers, family, all that. But he says, don't worry. Okay. It will be taken care of. But these are the blessings which God is talking about, which only the kingdom can give. So God says, God is no man's debtor. And who shall not remain in this present, and in the age to come, he says, you will have eternal. It's a promise that comes. So that's how we have to look. Curse and the blessings. So new covenant is a complete shift from the old covenant. Don't dwell on the old covenant. I was telling people also last time who wanted to give by. I said, no, some new witnessing. I said, when you're witnessing to somebody as far as possible, don't give them the whole Bible. Don't give the New Testament. Just the New Testament. They shouldn't start with the book of Genesis. Because what will happen, they'll get confused. They have to understand the new covenant, the salvation of God. Once they have understood and believed, let them go to the beginning. Then they will understand. But if you start, they will get stuck in the Old Testament and never understand the salvation purpose of God. Because all have to be get, the first priority is people have to get saved. So give them the new covenant, the New Testament. Let them read that. Even if it is one gospel, it is fine. But give them the new covenant. And once they have saved and read through the new covenant a few times, let them go to the old covenant. Okay, because the law and the prophets were preached till. And once Jesus has come, it's gone. It has been replaced by grace and by truth. So if you keep going back to the old covenant, it is only to explain how the kingdom of God works and how faith works. Nothing else. Don't go back there. It's gone. It's gone there. That's what happened on the Mount of Transfigurations. Because when you're caught in the religion, you want to make houses for Elijah and for Moses and for Jesus. But when they looked up, they are gone. Only Christ is there. And there is a voice from heaven. Listen to my son. Don't listen to that. It's over. It's finished. The dispensation is over. Listen to my son. The Father is speaking. Moses is gone. Elijah is gone. Only Christ is there. Law is gone. Prophets are gone. Only Christ is there. The kingdom has come. Their purpose was to bring you to the kingdom. When the kingdom has come, their job is over. When they come back, if they come back, if these two are coming back, they will come for Israel during tribulation. Because they have rejected Christ. And the final act of Israel's rejection of Christ is they will build the third temple and sacrifices will begin. And sacrifices begin means they refuse the sacrifice of Christ on. So these two witnesses will preach for 3.5 years. And many Jews will turn because of their preaching, the law and the prophets. So we have to understand this very, very carefully. So why do we preach faith? The purpose we preach faith is this. When you live by faith, you're living in the kingdom, in this visible world. You are in this world, but you're not part of it. You're living in the kingdom. You're a kingdom person. To be a kingdom person, you have to live by faith. It comes from hearing, that is the voice, the word of God. The word of God talks about the kingdom of God. How does the kingdom work? What are the laws? And seek his righteousness. How do I constantly stay right with this kingdom? If you confess, he is faithful, the blood of Jesus can constantly be right with God. Just not possible in the old covenant. You have to wait for the day of atonement. That is why we offer him thanksgiving, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. He doesn't want any other sacrifice. Any sacrifice, but he only wants the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. And we understand the king, the kingdom, we will thank God. Thank God I'm not living under the law. How many calves and bulls and goats and sheep and pigeons have to die for me? How much the grain would be all going as peace offering, the Levites would be getting fatter and fatter. I don't have to do anything. I just have to look at Christ and thank him and praise him. God, that's mine. So we are out of the curse, into the blessing. That's how it works. Yes, Pastor Vijay.
Actually, I think there's a very interesting corollary for what you've done. What you've spoken on this question. I think question number one again is very similar to that. It says in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain, he built it. I was an atheist. Hated Christians. Today I am a soldier for Christ, 80 years old. I heard your messages recently. God has been working in the big wits for lack of a better word. Been here for 15 years. I often ask myself, am I building the way? Is God pleased with the way we build? Do I constantly check with God's deliverance or do I keep staying in the loop? I have good days, slow days, lethargic days, depressed days. In 15 years, I've been used by God for only one time. The rest are all strangers.
Stragglers,
right. In and out of depression and messes. Need a word of wisdom.
Okay, these are all from anagram churches. Okay, first, let me put across, okay? When Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, he's talking about us, our hearts. Okay? But when we are talking about ministry, you need to understand all grounds are not same. Some grounds are very, very hard. Very hard grounds. Okay, very hard grounds. So that is why we do not judge ministries. Or look at how much he has brought and look at how little, but you do not know his ground and his ground. Ground may be completely different. So here it says, God has me working with the bigwigs. Okay, these are terms which you use in the language of the West. People who are into drug dealing, crime, those kinds of people. Okay, usually, okay, you need to realize anybody who is big in this world
the current world system. They have blood on their hands. They have blood on their hands. That's how the system works. Like when we talked about when God said, thou shalt not kill. Okay, there are many forms of killing. There is a killing which is an execution by the state, which is justified because the law permits you at many avenues later it is allowed. Second thing is when a soldier kills in battle, that is also sanctioned. After that comes the problems. Okay, like I said, three kinds of murder, manslaughter, the first degree, second degree, third degree, different kinds of killing is there. Then there is abortion. Again, murder. But always be very careful. Don't try to inculcate a culture of life because you do not know the pressure they go through. Okay, go through a teenage girl gets pregnant and fearing for her whole life. No? So all that kind of, so we have to create a culture of righteousness and love. You cannot have one without the only righteousness gets very scary. Very scary. Okay, the love and righteousness both together, so that this is how you address these problems. Now, other than all this, the worst form is what God told Israel. Don't follow pattern of the nations that were there before you. Because for power, they put their children through the fire. That's a different kind of murder altogether. It's worse than first degree. First degree can be out of enmity. You premeditated with intent, hired a gunda to kill or what. Okay, that's first degree. Killed. But this is worse than. This is the worst form. This is the worst. You have no power. You have nothing against that person. And it might be a little kid, a child. Okay? And this has been going on in the world for centuries. Because the devil has to give power. He says, give me this, I will give it. You see in the Bible, you see it all. This is the worst. A lot of people are so depressed because they are under blood guilt. Blood guilt. Okay. It is not easy for them to come out. If they want to be free, they have to come out completely. Willing to give up everything. Okay, I'm fine. I'm willing to give up. I'm good. I'm looking at eternity. If I don't give up, this is where I go. This is where I go. Now, the choice for me is very clear, very stark. Either I continue, or I give up everything. Give up everything. My position, my property, money I have made, because it's all blood money. And very few are willing to take that kind of a chance. Very few are willing. There are people who take it and they come out completely, they live a few years, they die, they are killed by the others, but they know, I've given my everything. Everything to God. Okay? So many of them who are working in situations like this, you need to realize it's not an easy ground you're working. It's a difficult ground, very difficult ground. But you have to come out so completely total. We have many people like that who have come out so completely and total. And they are sold out for God. Okay? Sold out for God. So you have to be sold out for God that way if you are a person of that past, or you are ministering to people from that kind of a background. You have to tell them. That you need to have a radical conversion experience and decision like Apostle Paul did. One day, he's arresting and it's a reason for the death of Christians. The next day, he turns around so completely. That's why he faces the kind of persecution which the others did not. They all faced. The kind Paul faced was because of the radical nature of his conversion. See,
Peter and John and the other apostles were Jews, but they were simple fishermen, illiterate fishermen and all. They were not part of the elite. They never took Christians and put them in prison. They never sanctioned their death. But Paul did. Paul did. Therefore, Paul's conversion is the most radical in the Bible. He's the only one you can compare to modern kind of people where hands had blood on them. Okay. But even that also cannot be compared, because he says he did it out of right zeal, foolish wisdom. He said, I did it out of ignorance. But these people are not doing it of ignorance, they are doing it for power. So they are not, so there is no comparison to people like them other than Manasseh. Manasseh. But even Manasseh cannot be compared, because Manasseh was a king. And God had his purposes with Israel. So, you have to come out completely, you have to be tough with them, and you have to tell them there is no other way. There's no other way. You have to come out. Come out. What is the price you're going to pay? You should be willing to pay the price.
Ultimate.
You need to be willing to pay the price. You may go to jail. They may sentence, the judge may throw the book at you. And before you reach the court, they may kill you, because your testimony may harm a lot of others who are still in the ring. But you have to look at eternity and make the decision. Make the decision. Okay, make a decision. And we have that radical kind of thing in the Bible. You see Zacchaeus standing up and says, half my wealth I give to the poor. Meaning that half the wealth was ill-gotten wealth, the rest was his. So he says, I'm giving it away. I don't want any part of it anymore. I don't want blood guilt. And anybody has taken you, please take. Come and take four times over. The law is kicking in. Because for everything, there's a remedy in the law. Remedy in the law. Okay, remedy in the law. So that's the only way. So don't get this. And if it's only one family you got, and that family is like that, it's worth it. It's worth it. Okay. Because some grounds are very, 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 very difficult. Very, very, very difficult. Because our country, like when you come to Jerusalem onwards to east, as we go further, go to, it's very difficult ground. And the reason it is such a difficult ground is because of the blood that has been shed over generations. Much blood has been shed. So there is so much blood guilt everywhere. Much blood has been shed. That's why the gospel is so, preaching of the gospel is so difficult in these areas. If you look, because there's so much blood guilt. Look at the entire Islamic nations. Millions and millions, even millions have been slaughtered. There's blood guilt. When you come to the East, it's all ancestral blood guilt and curses and the demonic and everything. So it's very hard ground. Okay? So in those hard ground, you get 10 people, it may be worth 10,000 in another country where they had a history of the gospel. So don't get discouraged, because the ground you're working in matters. And don't, that one family mentor them, because you never know, you never know, because from that one family might come someone who may touch his generation. No. That's why in the kingdom of God, you have to be very careful about numbers. Because you do not know purpose. Do not know purpose. Okay. So, like when we talk about, what about that deacon who preached on a snowy morning or evening? That saved Spurgeon.
One person.
person? Or what about that person who brought Billy Graham to the Lord? One person. One person. Okay. So we need to look at and say, behind every, there's always a chain working. Okay. Maybe it's one family, maybe it's two family, but you do not know from this family who will come out. Who will come out. Okay, so if you look into the world and you look at somebody else, because each one, you imitate somebody's faith, their character, all those things, but you don't imitate somebody's ministry, because it is different. It's one thing we have to, what happens today is everybody is imitating ministry. It's a very dangerous thing to do, because we don't understand God's ways. We don't understand God's ways at all. Here is Moses, 40 years in the palace, trained in all the wisdom of Egyptians, mighty in words and deeds, general of the army, trained in every weapon. And then for 40 years, he was not allowed to hold a weapon. Just a shepherd's staff. And pray and bring your people out. Another guy who was a slave, who was trained, not in any weapons, is not asked to hold a rod, he is asked to hold a spear or a sword. That is Joshua. Now we wouldn't think that way. Mm-hmm. We would want Joshua to pray because he was a slave, he is always groaning and praying, and Moses to fight. God says, no, let Moses pray, let Joshua fight. Who can understand the ways of God?
Hallelujah.
You have Peter, an unlearned fisherman who walked with Jesus. And you have Paul, who's a scholar of scholars in Hebrew and in Greek and all that he says. And then Peter is sent to the Jews. Paul is sent to the Gentiles. Who can understand this? We will say, no, Paul has to go to the Jews because Paul is the one who is the scholar. He can argue with the Jews and convince them because he knows his Torah, his Talmud, he knows it. He sends Peter there.
Every place he goes in his synagogue, his message.
And after that, he's with the Gentiles.
Yeah,
see, you have to humble yourself to preach to the Gentiles. Because they don't understand your grammar, they don't understand your language, they don't understand your theology. He's full of theology. And he understands it all well. But the Gentiles understand nothing. So he has to simplify the gospel and give it to them. And to work with them 3 days, day and night, this Bible study. You know, his heart is longing to give a real theological discourse to the Jews. But God says, no, you go there. And Peter is, he'll be sent there with the Jews and Peter is wishing. Peter says, I don't understand what Paul says. No? And yet say, you stay in Jerusalem.
Be successful with the Jews.
Okay. Okay. So we don't understand God's ways.
Amazing.
We don't, so don't look at numbers. Don't judge anything before it's time. God has given you one family. Be faithful with that family. Teach them. Don't get depressed because that out of that one family, who comes? You wouldn't know. Who wouldn't? You wouldn't know. Okay, that's how God works. So don't get, because they're all stragglers, but they are stragglers is what you have to be. You have to keep preaching because you wouldn't know when that day will come when one of them is convicted and says, here I am, I surrender. You never know. You never know what will come out of it. Okay. So they will in and out of depression and messes is because they still haven't counted the cost and we are willing to pay the price. Okay. Haven't counted the cost because many of them, like in those places, many of them are all into. There's so much honesty, there's so much blood guilt. For blood guilt, you don't have to kill anybody. For blood guilt, you don't have to be part of the occult. For blood guilt, all you have to do is sell cocaine, and because of that, a generation dies. You've got blood on your hands.
That's it.
Blood on it. You're responsible for the destruction of lives. That's all you have to do. So and that's how a lot of the people make money. People money. Okay. Alcohol, you know, hooch, all these things. It's blood guilt. Families are destroyed. and you are personally responsible for them. So blood, so they are depressed. So you have to come out of it. Go to God, cry out to Him and say, Lord, you became a curse for me on the cross. Lord, Lord, tell them, come out, come out. Lord,
John Newton and
the yeah, like John Newton and all, you can turn around from selling slaves to preaching to these slaves and delivering them. So you can, but you have to make that choice. Yes. Yes, yeah, it's 8 o'clock. You shall stop there. Because we lost 15 minutes in the beginning. 15, 20 minutes we lost, I think, because of, what was it? The driver was slow, right?
He was not responding, actually.
So we shall look to the Lord. We shall pray. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you. You are giving us in Christ a new beginning. When you say all things have passed away. Because you know, Lord, all our ancestral lines, you know, Lord. We don't know, Lord, what people have done up the line. Father's line, mother's line, forefathers, all of them. We have no clue. What curses, what idolatry, what bloodshed. So you are giving us an absolutely new beginning, Lord, in Christ. All curses gone. The blessing of Abraham upon us. And I pray, Father, today, all those who are listening, let today be a new day for somebody in Christ. Let them believe all curses are gone. Everything of the forefathers. It's cut off in Christ. And I have a new beginning in and through Christ. I have received the blessing of Abraham. The very Spirit of God is in me. So help me, Lord, to listen to His voice and obey His commands. And I can walk by faith. All these blessings will pursue me and overtake me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And if I'm persecuted, let it be for righteousness' sake. Your promise is true. Suffering for a while, but in eternity, the weight of glory, as Apostle Paul would say. Nothing compared to these momentary afflictions. Touch your children, Lord. Touch your servants, Lord. Pastors who struggle. The people who struggle. Touch them, Lord. Let their souls be edified. Let them be encouraged that God is with them, God is for them. Thank you, Father, thank you, Lord. Be with all of us, Lord. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
A king clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at His voice, and trembles at His voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And always sing, how great.